Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday Morning Wrestling is brought to you today by FanEssentials.net, your source for gear for your favorite sports team, and by the good people at LootCrate.com.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Good morning, Stro. This is Pat McNeil. Yes, we just got back up and booted on, and we're on the air. Welcome to Saturday Morning Wrestling. I am Pat McNeil. This gentleman with me is the Stro, the maestro, the great Rob Kellum, who has been part of a lot of pro wrestling over the years. We're going to go ahead and hit the music, and we're going to start the show here. 515-605-9345. First of all, Stro, welcome to the program. Sorry that we're on.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Now you are right in the middle of driving somewhere to entertain the people, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm getting things together. I'm getting ready to head to the Port City Paranormal Comic Con in Wilmington, North Carolina, at Rusty Nail. So that should be fun.
Okay. Well, that does sound great. Tell you what, we're going to have the phone lines open here. I'm going to play some commercial messages. We're going to come back. This is a nostalgia show. We talk a lot about what's happening in professional wrestling. I think we might today delve a little bit into your time in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, if that's okay.
Oh, it's quite all right.
All right. So hang in there, everybody. We will be right back after this timeout.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Here on PWTorchLivecast.com, I am Pat McNeil filling in for Jim Valley. Jim is on assignment. That's what happens when your wife is a successful travel agent. You occasionally find yourself on assignment on the weekend. So I am joined by the Stro, Rob Kellum, who's been on this. He's been on the livecast numerous times. He has not been on Saturday Morning Wrestling, so it'll be a different experience for him. And let's see, Skro, I can't think of a. First of all, I know that you've been in WCW and Smoky Mountain Wrestling and in Memphis. Meanwhile, I can't think of a single indie promotion in the southeastern United States that you haven't been a part of, unless I'm missing.
Oh my goodness, it's been a heck of a ride. Anyone you can possibly think of, I've been around the country, been overseas. Different countries as well. I mean, it's been a heck of a ride over the years.
Yes, and you are also a well-known actor. I'm trying to keep. What have you been involved with in the theater since we last talked some months ago?
Well, I just completed a children's film that'll be out next year. The trailer just came out for it. It's called The Rack Pack, R-A-C-K Pack. Similar to
it's not
movie
about
Home Alone. Alone.
It's amazing.
No. See Thomas Howell from Soul Man's in it. Even Randy Jones from Village People's in it. It's a movie for like the whole family to enjoy, and it'll be out sometime in 2017. And I just found out this week that the movie I did with Goldberg, Checkpoint, the one I mentioned, I think previously, will be out on Netflix, DVD, and everything come June 2017. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
Okay, you and Goldberg, I don't know about you. I think you timed that very well, or at least Goldberg timed that very well, because he is supposed to be on Monday Night Raw just a little under 72 hours from now.
Oh, yeah. Timing's everything, and I tell you, Goldberg still looks in incredible shape, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people showing up.
Okay, so phone lines are open. Excuse me, I've been still trying to remember the. Hold on, I'm going to say that. No, I'm going to schedule this. I'm still trying to remember the new phone number. It's 515-605-9345. Chat room is open right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Since this is a nostalgia show, I did want to cover Smoky Mountain Wrestling because, although, you know, I don't think anybody, including Jim Cornette, would label Smoky Mountain Wrestling as a great financial success. But as an artistic success, I mean, you look at just the list of people involved in that. This is 1992, and it's incredible to think of that many people involved in what today would be considered a small independent promotion. Is that how you feel about it? Was that a great place to learn your trade?
Oh gosh, it was an amazing time. I mean. Both WCW and WWE at the time were pulling talent from Smoky Mountain because how hot it was.
Yeah.
And for myself, you know, I'd wrestled for some independent promotions a few years prior to Smoky Mountain, but being Smoky Mountain was like the first major promotion I was involved in. And to get my feet wet a mixture of old school veterans like Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Rock and Roll Express. Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton. I mean, Tom Pritchard, yeah. some of the best Dutch Mantel, the guys that were coming up, like myself, like, you know, Chris Jericho and Lance Storm and Taz and Chris Candido. I mean, it was such an awesome time.
All right, we're gonna start breaking this down here timeline style as best we can. So you are Robbie Eagle. I know your first name is Rob, but was there any significance to that name other than that?
Well, there was a picture. That when it got around I'm amateur wrestling background and everything and collegiate background and so that's we're all got Ricky Morton, Tracy Smothers, and Jim Cornette. They all got together and put the moniker on me, which basically it was just pretty much a shoot because you know I had my college jacket with all the medals I've won all the tournaments around the country and everything and. I was pretty much nicknamed the Baby Steiner, more or less the promotion. So I, not only was I an upcoming star at the time, I was kind of like the big protector at the time for the promotion. Like if anybody got a line, that they would send me in to take care of situation. So it was all good.
Yeah, it's almost hard to believe today, but that was during an era where you know. Where wrestling promotions actually thought about that, you know, let's say somebody tries to go into business for themselves, who do we have who can, or let's say a fan tries to jump the rail, who do we have who's gonna take care of that? And so with your amateur background, that would have been you.
Absolutely, and that kind of led to my experience with the MMA, you know, with PWFI, And, you know, it's with their similar pride fighting, their competitive pride fight in Japan, and which is Stan Lane was the guy actually that put me on with those guys, and which I couldn't thank him enough. I met some great people. You know, I previously, you know, I met Ken Shamrock, who was also doing it, and then, you know, Dan Severn, and, you know, seeing guys like Gary Albright, who's like big as a house.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know,
yeah,
Vader,
but
cross promotion. It was amazing. I learned so much over there.
Yeah, MMA back then was definitely like the wild, wild west. Because, I mean, it was not like it is today. I mean, one of the big moments for people who missed it on UFC 2 was the idiot trying to interview Dan Severn, and Al Snow, who was Dan's, you know, trainer, corner man, completely breaking the guy down, which was it was something memorable. I was at a bar when that happened. That was hilarious. Okay, so your first deal, you're brought into Smoky Mountain Wrestling. This is August 1992. It's telling me we're gonna do this timeline style here, and there's a TV taping there. And your first official match is you're in the opener of one of the TV shows, and you are taking on White Lightning Tim Horner. I mean, talk about a guy who is probably underappreciated in this business. I think he definitely qualifies.
I mean, one of the most underrated talents ever. I mean, I was a big fan actually of him and Brad Armstrong with the known to Lightning Express. And
yeah.
I know those guys back of a team, and seeing the skills that Horner had, I mean, he and being in the ring with him was incredible. I mean, I learned so much from him.
Yeah, but I mean, moreover, this is a way to, you know, getting you on the TV shows is a way to get you, you know, once you're on TV, then it's a lot easier to put you on the live events when they go around. So that made perfect sense. But that's your first show, and there's a lot going on. Then there's another TV taping. I've never heard of this town, and I grew up in Virginia. Hayseay, Virginia.
That's Smoky Mountain for you.
Yeah, Hayseay, Virginia, at Sandlick Elementary School. I've actually been on shows when you've been on, and I've been to a lot of small places, so it's kind of like that, I guess. All right,
right.
So you're taking, and then you did two matches. Them, you taking on Killer Kyle, Mark Kyle, who you might remember from a lot of WCW shows when he was. I mean. He's a larger gentleman. He did a lot of enhancement work, shall we say?
Yeah, during the Smoky Mountain run and everything, and he kind of did the whole Mr. Hughes thing, except, you know, he had the suit and all, but he had like a violin case he would like whack people with, you know. So yeah, he was
violin
a good guy.
With no violin, okay. There you go. All right.
I never found out what it was, so.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it was a violin in there because it was a violin case. I mean, that's just like, you know, what did Jim Cornette have inside the tennis racket case? I'm guessing it was a tennis racket, you know? you don't want to overthink this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, then later on in the tapings, you're teaming up with Paul Lee against the tag team champions of Smoky Mountain, the Heavenly Bodies of Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard. Now, you didn't get to do a lot of tag team wrestling in Smoky Mountain. How much of you, how many tag matches had you done going in there? I know you trained with some good people.
Oh, gosh. Quite a bit, actually, more than people realize. I mean, I've always enjoyed tag team wrestling. It's, And to be there, I mean, gosh, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yeah, what great teams you had back then. I mean, you had the Rock and Roll Express, Heavy Bodies, Stanley and Tom Pritchard were a heck of a team. And then Jimmy Del Rey and Tom Pritchard was a great team as well. And you had Fuller and Golden, Tennessee Stud Stable. And you had the Bruce Brothers. Remember those big guys?
Oh, yeah, Ron and Don Harris. They're still making news to this day, in fact.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it's so many great teams then. Oh, the Thrill Seekers, how can I forget? Storm and Jericho.
Well, yeah, although they didn't, they didn't stay probably, they weren't a team and they didn't stay probably as long as Jim Cornette would have liked. But, yeah, that was, putting them together was, it wasn't that difficult of an idea. They'd already trained together. Okay, then there.
Yeah.
And let's see. Okay, next up, November 2nd, Robbie Eagle heads to Bluff City, Tennessee, in Sullivan East High School. another. Where is Bluff City? I've got to ask.
That's Bluff City. I believe, if I'm mistaken, was on the way to Johnson City.
Okay.
And around that area, you know, but just a very small town, of course.
All right. Yeah, I mean, one thing you can say about Jim Cornette is he found these places, you know.
Yeah.
He found places. Yeah. And you know, if you'd never been to that town, there's no way that you'd, you know, there's no way that you were getting internet reports back in 1992 or even reports anywhere about what the results of the tapings were. So, made it kind of, you know.
Those poor ring trucks driving down those poor, yeah, through those mountains. These towns, unbelievable.
Oh, did you have to ride in the ring truck at any point?
I followed a few. I didn't get a chance to ride any, unfortunately. But I mean,
yeah.
I just felt for him because I know I was getting seasick myself, and you know, my vehicle. I can imagine.
You go to those towns. There's like two or three stations on the radio, and you're driving straight up, and then you're driving straight down.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that show, you're in there with Tracy Smothers, and you get to work with Tracy. And Tracy's still going to this day. And I never hear anything bad about him from anybody who's ever worked him. So,
tough guy. I mean, he's been doing it this day. I mean, and we had some great, great matches. It was just a privilege to be in the ring with him and do our thing. And you know, we would have amateur style matches sometimes as well. You know, even that carried over to my room in Memphis with Gorgeous George III. So, yeah, what a great guy to be in the ring with.
Okay, and they obviously like you more because they're putting you out there. They're taping three shows, and you're out there for each show. Tennessee Stud Stable defeats Robbie Eagle and Jeff Daniels. Do I know who Jeff Daniels is, or is that just?
Well, it's definitely not Jack.
Okay, well, yeah, I would have known if it's Jack. Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of Jack Daniels on the indie scene. Yes. But, I mean, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. They're about as you know, for big tough guys, they're about as I'm trying to think what the word. They're about as easy to work with as you can imagine. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, so much experience between those two, and you know, Jimmy Golden actually was like the first guy. First guys in the house show, actually, I had, you know, wrestled with in Smoky Mountain. And, I mean, I learned a lot from those guys. I mean, so much experience. They've been around for a long time, you know. And their families have, you know, Fuller family's been around for a while, too, you know.
Yeah. They've been around for this side of forever. All right. And then we move on to, and then they take the third one. And you're back in there with the Heavenly Bodies, except this time you have an experienced partner. This time you have Reno Riggins.
All right.
And
yeah.
I mean, and speaking of guys that you've probably seen about a million times on television, there was a period where I think I saw Reno Riggins on Saturday wrestling television, I think like every week for a year.
He was everywhere.
He did that. Okay. So people are familiar with you at this point. Let's find the next Robbie Eagle set. Okay. And you finally make it to the main show, Johnson City, Tennessee, Freedom Hall, Thanksgiving weekend, I think November 28th. And you are in the open. You finally made it. You're in the opening match. You get to work Tracy Smothers, and there's just there's just a lot going on here. The main event is the Rock and Rolls and Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, and you got Kevin Sullivan and the Mongolian Stomper, and Ronnie Garvin's on there, and that's. Jeez, I mean, you get to work a battle royal on the show. So you're like the so you're the young boy on this show, near as I can tell.
Yeah, pretty much
at this point. Doggone it.
Oh yeah,
all right.
I'm just a green whippersnapper in that one.
All right, and then the next night you get hit Knoxville at the Coliseum, and you're in with the Night Stalker. Let's see, is the Night Stalker is that Brian Adams at this point? I'm trying to.
There is.
Brian Clark. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah. All right. Well, that was. I think the gimmick that he had used briefly, and I want to say he'd used that briefly in WCW at this point. I'm trying to remember
briefly.
Here. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, what's the fans? What are their reactions to this? They're, you know, I mean, is this their promotion at this point? Does it feel like a home team promotion, or do we get to? I know we get to the point later where WWF guys come in and it starts to feel minor league for some of these fans.
Well, I know the fans are like, believe it or not, even these small towns, they would pack these houses. I mean, they were just so hot about every match, and they had that real old school feel to it, like back in, you know, like the early 80s, and, you know, Crockett Promotions and all that. And I mean someone would do the least little thing in the ring and people would go crazy, like grab a headlock, for example. So I mean they were hot.
You could still do that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was a nice throwback, you know.
Yeah, and I think part of that was too, we weren't at the point where a lot of people out there were getting satellite, you know. You're seeing whatever the local shows are for WCW and then WWF, and that's about it.
Yeah, so I mean, it was with restriction of not seeing too much action, it made the wrestling, speaking about wrestling, that much more of a commodity. You know what I mean? Back then.
All right, we're going to take a break here, get some crass commercial messages in. We'll come back. We'll talk more with the Stro. We'll take your calls here. It is 515-605-9345. So don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this word from Dusty.
One lady and one man is vitally interested in that Dusty Rhodes and baby doll. Dusty, you know, Bob Cowell throughout this country, the Great American Bash is a fever pitch. The Nature Boy Ric Flair comes out here and he talks about the many great things that is before him, 14 of the greatest competitors in the world. Nature Boy, the only man to ever walk into Hemsley Palace with a t-shirt and jeans on while everybody else was standing in line to get in. And they said, yes, sir, Mr. Rhodes, come and sit down. That's the American dream, Dusty Rhodes.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Okay, we are back with the Stro. Stro, thank you very much for joining us this week as we fill in for Jim Valley on Saturday Morning Wrestling. Lost you there for a second. We're going to get back to the program after we talk about the good people at LootCrate.com. Loot Crate, you're familiar with it. It is it's like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with a present every month. Let's take a look at. I know that this month's Loot Crate will be near and dear to the Stro's heart, so I'm going to go ahead and pull that. Loot Crate, it's a subscription service. They ship to 27 countries. You get all the information on their site. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. And I believe that the theme for October is horror. So let me find this here. Yeah, I'm trying to find what's in the Loot Crate this month, but it's definitely horror. And they do have coming up the WWE Slam Crate, which means that, yes, WWE is at least partially responsible for sponsoring this content. Okay, in horror this month, Rob, you get guaranteed items from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Walking Dead, Friday the 13th, and A Nightmare on Elm Street. I know that you're a big, I know that you've been in horror movies and you're a fan of the genre. And if you subscribe, you get a 1 year subscription. Your cost is $13.95 a month plus shipping and handling. It goes up to $19.99 a month just for a single crate. Plus, if you enter the code PWTorch when you make your purchase, suddenly you're suddenly the cost drops $3, so you go from $19.95 to $16.95, which is probably what you want. That is LootCrate.com. It has anything you could possibly imagine. You can look up past crates. You can go to you can get the WWE Slam crate, the Marvel Gear and Goods crate, the Special Edition Halo crate. There is Loot Crate DX, which has nothing to do with Shawn Michaels. It is actually just a larger version of the Loot Crate. Loot Anime, Loot Gaming, Loot Pets, and Loot Wear. It is all available at LootCrate.com. Go check it out and tell them that PW Torch sent you. We are back with Rob Kellum, the Stro. Stro, yeah, we were going over your start in Smoky Mountain Wrestling in 1992, and this is the way wrestlers started back then. This is something that Jim Cornette believed in. You know, you got on TV, you got to show them what you had, and you slowly worked your way into the crew and started at the very bottom. Would it be fair to say that you were at the very bottom at this point?
Oh, yeah, at one point. You know, just paying the dues.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. So, I mean, it was one of those things where people were going in and out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling because guys were heading back to WCW or WWE, and you were there, and you gained their trust as they figured out that you could work.
Pretty much, you know, getting experience to, you know, move up the ladder.
Okay, so let's see. Smoky Mountain in December goes to Marion, Virginia, another town I'm not familiar with, but I'm guessing it's somewhere in the mountains, where you're taking on Dixie Dynamite. Which Armstrong was Dixie Dynamite?
That was Scott.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very, very talented individual. Let's see here. And, I'm looking for where we see you next. Let's see. It's a little while here. Did you get a week or two off at some point?
Every now and then. Yeah. I think it was pretty busy.
Yeah, and this is. I mean, they didn't have a lot of spare wrestlers to go around back then. That's not what Smoky Mountain was built on. There was no Smoky Mountain developmental system or Smoky Mountain training center. Or pretty much any of that. Okay, here we go. So we're back. We're back after the holidays. We're back for a big TV taping in January 1993 at the Newton Rec Center in Newton, North Carolina. And this time you have Ron Wright with you. So how did that happen?
There for a while I was pretty much watching Ron Wright's back. You know, filling in for. Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, who was, I guess, tied up during that time. So it was an honor to kind of watch the legends back for a little while anyway.
All right. Let's see. So you're fighting Reno Riggins, and you're working with Ron Wright. Let's see here. What else we got? All right. Then we move on and... the Battens are in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So we go to Beckley, West Virginia, a town which many wrestling fans know. And you're taking on a Brad Batten on January 22nd. And then the 23rd, you go to Shenandoah, Virginia. You got Bart Batten. The Battens. A lot of people don't remember much about the Battens except for their time on WCW television, putting over other guys.
You know. And independent wise and territory wise, the Battens like were one of the top 10 teams for a while. I mean, stemming from world class championship wrestling, you know, all the way to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So, those guys have been around for a while, and it was great getting in the ring with them, and it was a great learning experience.
And let's see. All right, it's about this time that Bobby Eaton comes in, and although we don't know it, Arn Anderson's going to be coming in, and Cornette's done a deal with Bill Watts and WCW. So let's see. So now you actually got to work some for WCW during this era, doing TV for them. And it says
them and Smokey. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're still working there as Robbie Eagle also.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And that's when you first got to take on Sting.
Yeah. That was really cool. I mean, and it was great seeing some of the guys I've worked with, Smoky Mountain too, as well. You know, like Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson, and Paul Orndorff and guys like that. You know, so it was cool, kind of going back and forth between the two. And you know, I mean, and you know, And then WCW was putting guys also, you know, look at the Stings, the Cactus Jacks, you know, Marcus Bagwell, Tupo Scorpio. So it was a good time. Learned a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is not, you know, this is not remembered as the best era of WCW, but when you look back at it, it wasn't, you know, it really wasn't the worst either. I mean, that,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, there was some pretty good talent hanging around there. All right, then we hit February 1993, and we get a big moment here. Robbie Eagle gets the victory in the opening match against Dark Secret. What was the Dark Secret about Dark Secret?
Well, Dark Secret was kind of like an unofficial member of the Fabulous Freebirds at the time, if you recall.
Oh, okay.
And,
that guy. Yeah. That was
so,
the secret.
So, yeah, that get a win on an unofficial member of the Freebirds, that was pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, that guy went through a lot with the Freebirds there. Let's see, moving on here. Okay, TV. He went on to become Fantasia, and then somebody at Disney mentioned copyright issues, so they had to edit out all mentions of Fantasia on WCW television, and the new guy was called Bad Street. I remember this because I'm watching the TV shows, and Michael Hayes is giving his promo, and he's talking about their newest member, where they had, you know, they had to mask the name of the guy, so... It was one of those great only in WCW moments that you would see, you know, several times in the future.
Only in WCW.
Yes. But that's still years away. Let's see. Go back and we do the loop again, and it's you and Killer Kyle again, and let's see. And the Stud Stable's feuding with the Midnights, and the Dirty White Boy is feuding with Tracy Smothers. That feud had a lot of heat on it, and generally people, it's not one of the ones people talk about when they talk about Smoky Mountain.
Which one, Tracy Smothers and Dirty White Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time heat.
Okay, let's see, Dirty White Boy, you know, people who only saw WWF saw him, and he was not at his best doing that particular T.L. Hopper gimmick. You know, tell the people what made Tony Anthony special.
Oh man, you know, he was part of a great heel villain tag team for a long time called Dirty White Boys.
Yeah,
and which eventually he broke off a singles competition and got to be a singles wrestler, and then ride to Smoky Mountain as the guy. You know, back then the Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony, he was pretty much the franchise champion of Smoky Mountain Wrestling at the time, and he was managed by the legend we mentioned earlier, Ron White. And those guys generated a lot of heat in territory during the time.
All right. Then if you thought things weren't crazy enough, they get a little more crazy when March 1993, Kevin Sullivan comes in, and Bill DeMott comes in as Crash the Terminator, which was his gimmick back then. Let's see. Now, were you familiar with Bill DeMott when you first saw him? I mean, were you familiar with his work?
Oh yeah, Bill DeMott, yeah, a good friend of mine. I mean, I've got known him for a long, long time, and for a guy his size, he was just so talented and gifted athletically.
And that's the point. That's the point. We have Dutch Mantell doing as your announcer. Dutch is a character, and he has been. I can't even remember how long he's been in the business, but he's been the way he is for a while, and it was good to see him on WWE television for a while.
Oh yeah, Dutch is great. I've had so many great times with Dutch. I learned so much from him. I mean, not only in the United States, during territories with him, but like overseas, and I mean, he was very instrumental in helping me out going to a lot of places as well. So I mean, what a great guy.
How many of those times can you talk about on the air?
Oh goodness, there's a few, I guess. I mean, there's I know this. We've had some good times in Puerto Rico.
The Caribbean. Yeah.
Come and think about it. There's so many. You know what I mean? Yeah. But what a great guy.
Okay, let's see. Okay, March 1993. Then we go back to Knoxville, and Arn Anderson is in, and it's Arn and the Rock and Rolls and fighting the Midnight Heavenly Bodies, if you want to call them that. And also on that card, you get your first match against Chris Candido.
During that time, Chris was arguably one of the best in the business. I mean, the guy could fly, he could wrestle. I mean, he could do it all. And to be in the ring with him and have the matches that we had together was such a privilege and honor. And we were about the same age during that time, you know, been in the business about the same time. So, I mean, it was like having, you know, a twin brother, you know what I mean, in some ways.
Yeah.
So, I always cherish Chris Candido, man. Love the guy to death.
And his gimmick, I think, was that he was the New Jersey Junior Heavyweight Champion or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's see. Okay, then there's a TV taping back in Hayseed, Virginia, and you take on the Tasmaniac, which is the first time we see him in the picture. This is Taz when he was near the start of the business. Was he a guy that you thought this guy's going to be big someday, or did you just have no idea? I know it's hard to tell about that. But.
You know what? I had a feeling he might be just by his demeanor. I mean, he carried himself well. I mean, he, a lot like me, I mean, he believed in solid wrestling. And, I mean, there's a match that we had together one time, and all we did was suplex each other the whole match. It was great. But he was a good guy, and I knew that someday he'd make it big.
Okay, so what were the rings like when you're working in Smoky Mountain Wrestling? Are they do they have some give to them, or are you basically suplexing each other on a slab?
The rings were great, actually. You know,
good.
I mean, for the most part, they were great. You know, even the WCW rings were great and all that. The ring crew always did a good job.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of an important thing back then. All right, and then later on in the tapings, you get your first title shot. It is you going for the TV title against Bobby Eaton, in fact.
Yeah. One of the greatest, arguably, pound for pound, one of the greatest of all time. And that's not my quote. That's Steve Kearns, actually. But I concur, no less. And being in the ring with Bobby, it was like an art form. You know what I mean, with him. Guys like him and Steamboat are just like, you know, painting masterpieces with a Picasso, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look ahead, see what... all right, here we go. And then probably one of the big shows that I remember from that era, the Bluegrass Brawl. You hit Pikeville, Kentucky. Biggest turnout, I think, for Smoky Mountain at that point, 2000. And not only are you on there, you're on in the you get to open things up, and you get to take on the legendary Rip Rogers.
What an honor that was! I mean, Rip
yeah.
is like one of the best. And I grew up admiring Rip a lot of like Florida Championship Wrestling, the different territories he was at, and it was a great honor to being with him. Ring with an opening form for the Bluegrass Brawl. I mean, that was huge. I mean, that night, I think if I recall, Arn Anderson was there that night, Rock and Roll
yeah.
and Heavenly Bodies. Oh yeah. Yeah. What a great time that was.
Yeah. That is, I mean, that match is available in a lot of places, that three-way match. They didn't call it a three-way dance, but it was a three-way elimination match, Eaton, Lane and Pritchard, against Arn and Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, against Dutch, Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller. And I wouldn't quite call it ECW style, but it was Memphis style would probably be a good way to describe it. Just wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just, like I said, Smoky Mountain Wrestling was like a throwback from the old school days, in which, you know, not many people realize it, but like the old school wrestling back then had a little bit of everything. I mean, you had your extreme matches, you had your scientific matches, you had all types of matches back then. So, I mean, this was like the fact before hardcore was hardcore and all that. So, I mean, it was really cool to break into that type of territory.
Okay.
And I owe a lot to Cornette, too. Cornette was amazing. You know what I mean? a lot of people can say things about Cornette, and, you know, he may be, his views may be controversial and all that, but he's been nothing but good to me, and he is a really, really great guy, and what a mind for the business.
Okay, well, yeah, he does have a great mind for the business, and he's managed to go into the hit the pinnacle of success in this business, which is, of course, becoming a wrestling podcaster. But anyway,
absolutely.
All right, then April comes, and Robbie Eagle is hitting the big time. He's in Johnson City taking on Joe Kazana, another guy who. When they start putting up stuff on the network from that area, you'll see a lot of Joe Kazana on television, I think. Jeez. And then the next night, it's you against Bobby Blaze.
Oh, man. That's my brother, man. Bobby's former Smoky Mountain champion, man. And, you know, he's another prodigy of the great Malenko, you know.
Oh.
And, I mean, anybody that comes from Malenko, you know they're gold. So, I mean, the guy, he's a great, great, great guy. I was with him in Smoky Mountain Wrestling and WCW, and to this day, we're still friends. And you know, he's a writer now, and he's got a book out now called Pin Me, Paint Me. And he's got another book follow-up from that, too. And it's a great read if you get a chance to check it out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We know you're coming up. We know we got off to a late start because of some technical issues, and you're coming up in your final destination. So we're going to take one last break. We'll come back with the Stro, and we'll find out everything that he's up to, and wrap this up on Saturday Morning Wrestling. So don't touch that dial.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
So don't forget, if you want to subscribe to Pro Wrestling Torch and get more audio than you can listen to, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that, you go to pwtorch.com/govip, $10 a month, $99 a year, pwtorch.com/govip, and you will get at least 15 wrestling podcasts a week that you would not ordinarily get just by listening here on pwtorchlivecast.com. Although we do recommend you listen to pwtorchlivecast.com 6 days a week right here where you're listening now, assuming you're listening live. 515-605-9345. We are talking to the Stro. Also want to plug fanessentials.net. They are the best in terms of putting together your monthly subscription box for fans, especially fans of the NBA and their favorite NBA team. Getting you merchandise that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else. So go check that out at fanessentials.net. The Stro, I know you're on your way to this convention here, and we appreciate you taking time out on your ride up to visit with us. Let's go over just a little bit more. Then you start teaming with Bobby Blaze, and that's in Barberville. You get to team up against Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard again. There they are.
Oh, what a match that was! I mean, like I was in the ring with three of the best, you know, my boy Bobby, Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard. I mean, gosh, it doesn't get any better. And you know, like I said, Stan and Tom were such an awesome team, heavenly bodies, one of the best.
Okay, and then this one I'm not familiar with. You're in end of April, April 30th, 1993. You're in Shenandoah, Virginia, taking on defeating Bill Maddox.
Oh, yeah.
not ringing a bell with me, to be honest with you. But now you're the guy that they're bringing in enhancement wrestlers to fight. Yeah, the enhancement wrestlers are there to enhance you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the roles are reversing during this point. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I'm in the getting used to it. And I mean, I'm really starting, you know, to kind of move up the ladder, if you will. So, you know, I'm very honored to be able to have the opportunity.
Yeah, but by the end of the summer here, you're trading. I mean, you actually beat Chris Candido in a TV match, which congratulations for that, by the way. Don't know.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I don't remember the circumstances behind that, but yeah. Let's see. And you're fighting with Bobby Blaze over the junior heavyweight title. And you've come into your own at the as we head into the end of 1993, and you end up you not only end up still going with WCW, you wind up as Gorgeous George the Third in Memphis, which is sort of an interesting transition. I mean we're moving on obviously about a year or so later, but interesting transition from Robbie Eagle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Memphis, so many great memories. I mean, teaming with Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert for the USWA Tag Team Championships, being main event and guys like Jerry the King Lawler, Superstar Bill Dundee, Brian Christopher, teaming with Scott Hall at one point, wrestling Sid Vicious, Bob Backlund. I mean, when the list goes on, I mean, it was just a lot of great memories there in USWA.
Actually, we were hoping for some stories about you riding with Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert, but, I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Oh, goodness. No, I tell you, Tommy and I were kind of like Michael Hayes and Kerry Von Erich in the Wicks, where you were both different. We got along great, and I mean, and to hear Tommy tell stories about Harley Race and Ric Flair was just amazing. It was just, Buzz Sawyer, that, and, you know, because, I mean, I you know, when I was growing up, I mean, I saw all that, you know, I remember all that, and to hear him give his perspective on everything was just amazing.
Yeah, I got to meet Tommy Rich, I want to say, an indie show in 1997, 96. I think he drank half a dozen beers and smoked a pack of cigarettes before he went out, pretty sure.
He used to tickle me to death, like, whenever someone tried to give me a hard time. And he pulled me to the side. Hey, George, if you don't like what he's telling you, you hook him old school.
That's a very good Tommy Rich right there.
never dull moment. I love Tommy.
One of a kind. All right, since you've been a good sport.
He's that
sport,
crazy brother you always wanted.
Yeah, crazy brother or crazy uncle, depending on your age. Since we've talked your ear off, go ahead and tell everybody how they can keep tabs on you and what you're doing in this business via social media and what else you're up to.
Oh, yeah. For all the latest, everybody, on my TV, film, wrestling, et cetera, go to my official website at thestro.com, thestro.com, Facebook at Stro the Maestro, and on Twitter at thestro, and Instagram at Stro Maestro. And be on the lookout for the movies Checkpoint, The Rack Pack, a few episodes I'll be on Good Behavior on TNT this fall, and Dracula's War as well. So definitely been looking for those films. And you can IMDb me on my IMDb page as well. I'm on there as well. So thank you guys for all your support. It really appreciate it. It means a lot.
No problem. So Good Behavior on TNT this fall, you're on there a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for you. And obviously, you're running the roads wrestling. I know you already signed up to be at WrestleCade, so we'll probably see you there next month in Winston-Salem.
Awesome.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, Stro, listen, thanks very much for being with us on Saturday Morning Wrestling. And for all you Jim Valley fans, I'm pretty sure he's going to be back here next week. Until then, everybody, keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Have a great day.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the 1-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.